How's it going? All right, just for their, like, notice, I have a stutter, so this could take a while, so we'll see. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Acts 1:1-8.
Well done, man. For those of you who don't actually know me, my name is Evan Johnson, and this actually today marks the official changeover for me being the youth minister here at Southside. I've loved my transition here. Oh, thank you. I've loved the transition of coming to here to be at Southside. This is a family that welcomes those in, who has the right goals as a church and seeks to save the lost, and I love that. It's a mission that carries over into the youth ministry and has blessed me continuously, and as I stand looking down at my youth group, I know that I am truly blessed. Anyone of us in this entire congregation, or anyone anywhere who works with this population is always asked why. Why on earth would you ever work with middle school and high school students? Over and over and over again. We're asked the same question. Why on earth would you do it? And there are two big reasons. And I think some people share my reasons. My first one, and one you may not know, is that sixth grade is the developmental age for sarcasm. It is beautiful because there's a distinct line from students who get it and those who don't, and there's a terrible clash between the two. Okay? You'll end up from a student making a joke to a student insulting you back to back, and they have no idea what they've done. Okay? It is wonderful. But the second part, which I love, that we lose as we get older, is the willingness to jump into something headfirst and just forget about the consequences. Okay? This seems like a disadvantage. It seems like something that we all say teenagers do, but it is one of the most beautiful things about youth ministry. Because they are willing to try new things, try new foods, meet new friends, gain new skills, learn new things. They're ready. They're willing. And they will jump in headfirst and wait for the consequences later. Okay? They all volunteer to get up here and do different leadership roles in the church service this morning, most of them not having done it before, and just said, "We'll kind of figure out the consequences later, but why not? We'll try something new." And I love that. I absolutely love that. But this is manifested in a very specific way in a specific time to our youth group, and it is through the game of Mao. Okay? Has anyone played the card game Mao before? It may just be the youth group. Okay? It's a card game. It's very simple. There's about 10 rules, and every time you break a rule, you get a card. Nice and easy. Okay? That's it. Okay? 10 rules, break a rule, get a card. All of our youth group is very willing and excited to invite all of our new members, our chaperones, anyone who comes to volunteer to help with the youth group. They would love to teach you this game because there is one second rule to this game, which is you cannot tell people the rules. You have to play a game where you don't know the rules, where you get a card every time you break a rule without knowing the rules.
Did you just break a rule?
I did just break a rule, okay? And that's how this game starts, okay? And what ensues is 2 hours of alternating screaming at the top of your lungs followed by complete silence. Back and forth over and over and over and over again. And they're willing to yell at each other over and over and over again to do this. And it's hilarious to watch them. Okay? You get the sarcasm, you get the willingness to jump in head first, you get the complete and total anger, and then you get this complete silence afterwards. But the cool thing about this game is it's how they bring people into their group. Because once you know the rules, you can play the game. You can teach the rules. You can pass this on to somebody else. And you're willing to invite the next person as fast as you possibly can to play this game so that you get to yell at them every time they break a rule. It's this weird, vicious, angry, bitter pattern that they seem to love a lot. Okay? And it's a game that transitions well. Okay? You can lose one game and get so angry you quit, and then the next game come in and win. Okay? And the fun thing with it is if you win, you get to make a rule. And the person who did that for us this summer made the most obnoxious rule I've ever seen. It involved playing rock, paper, scissors, and going two at a time, and then changing the order of the game and reversing all at the same time, and just made everybody just cry every time it happened. Okay? It's this weird game that brought them all closer together, and it's something I love, because it fell into our goals. See, this year for our youth group, my number one goal was to create relationship with them and relationship with each other. Okay? Primarily through games like this, through communication, through retreats, but also through things like them telling their Christian story. I think your testimony and your story is what makes you unique about who you are. The only thing you can bring to somewhere new that no one else can bring is your story. You are the only one that can tell it the way that you do. That is what makes you unique. And the ability to tell your story is something that a lot of us haven't learned how to do. And so it's something I wanted them to be able to do with each other so that they knew more about each other. Because you learn something distinct about somebody when you know their strengths and their weaknesses. You know the hardships they've come through, their triumphs, and all of their favorite things. You get to know so much about them through their journey. And it's this beautiful process. But paired with this, I also wanted them to know what they believe, why they believe it, and to be able to understand and defend it. Okay? Because it's not enough to know that you believe something. You should know why you believe it. You should be able to reason with somebody who disagrees with you. That's an important concept. And so the easiest way for me to explain this is I had a friend do this to me one time. If you have a Bible, turn it to Psalms chapter 14. If you've got a Bible, turn it to Psalms chapter 14. You can do it on your phone. You can do it anywhere. He said, the logic works like this. If you're a Christian, you believe everything in the Bible is true. I said, yes, I believe the Bible is true. He said, part two to this is that if something was Scripture said that God was not real, then you'd have to believe it. I said, well, I guess technically, if I believe all Scripture is true, then that would make sense, but that's not there. So then he said, well, actually, in Psalms 14, in verse 1, it says that God is not real. Okay? And I said, no, it doesn't. He said, no, it does. Okay, I can prove to you that your God's not real based on that logic right there. And it showed me a hole in my faith. Because, see, Psalms chapter 14, verse 1 says, the fool says there is no God. Okay? It's a sentence, but I can take the first half of that out, and all of a sudden, I can try to prove a point. And he showed me something. If I don't know what I believe, okay, if I don't know my scriptures, if I don't know why I believe them, okay, and understand them, okay, I can't defend myself. Okay? If I can't look at scripture, find it, and look at the context, I can never defend what I believe. Because if he hadn't told me what verse it was in, I'd have just said, no, it's not, and he would have said, yes, it is, and we'd have been at this impasse, where I've told him he's wrong, and it's there. Okay? But it's just completely taken out of context. You can do this with all sorts of kind of things. We see it happen in the news all the time. Okay? You take something, you bring it out of context, and you make something look like it's not. It's this unique thing. So we took this journey to do this with our own faith. As several couples helped Hannah and I do this. The youth group sent in 37 anonymous questions, and we answered them for 9 weeks on Wednesday nights. Any question they had about any aspect of their faith, about the church, about God, anything, we answered over 9 weeks. Okay? We wanted them to understand and be able to defend what they knew. And they can't do that if they don't understand their own faith. It's that stepping stone. Okay? You need that foundation to do this. And it brought up a lot of interesting things. Because not only did it answer questions, which was great, and everyone loves to have their questions answered, okay, is it removed the doubt for people that were afraid to ask questions. We had students who were afraid to ask their questions, one, because they didn't want people to know they had doubts, but two, they didn't know when or where or how to ask them. Okay? So the ability to ask a question anonymously, kind of like Steve's sermon series with our restoration movement was able to do, showed them that they can ask these questions. It enabled them to have relationship. It takes openness, even with anonymity, to be able to ask a question that shows your vulnerability. Okay? It showed them this. It gave them this great power to form relationships because they got to hear other people's questions. It's the same thing that happens when you teach. Okay? If someone has a question, everyone should listen because someone else probably has the same question but just isn't willing to ask. It happens all the time in school, and it carries over to this. There was all of these questions that came on loop that people had over and over and over again. Okay? And these questions all got answered, and it created that dialogue in those relationships. But what it also did, which I think was probably my favorite thing from all of it, was it boosted their self-study. Okay? I gave them what I felt was the defense and the why behind different aspects of their questions. Okay? And some of them disagreed with me, which was beautiful. Right? Because if you disagree with me, I made them tell me why. And so they went home and they researched and they got in their Bibles and they got elbows deep in all kinds of study to figure out the why. Okay? Why they disagree with me. Because it's not enough to just disagree. Okay? It works both ways. Okay? If you can defend what you believe, the other person can't, they're the one that's offset. So they had to go home and figure this out for themselves. And they brought back research and they brought back better questions and they brought back more scripture because they were going to come in and prove me wrong. And I loved it. Okay? Any aspect where they can seek out to prove me wrong means that they're diligently working to show that they know something and they're going to prove how they know it. Okay? I think the only thing that brings a student more joy than getting out of school is proving their teacher wrong, and it was done over and over and over again. And I loved it. Okay? But for this year, this summer, I think came to a pinnacle where all of those goals were answered on our climbing trip. Our climbing trip, for those of you who were here, last generations got to hear about this a little bit, was when we went to Colorado and hiked Mount Shell. They asked for the hardest trail possible, and I said, okay, so we went on the hardest trail possible. And when we got there, they said there's two variations for this trail. There's an easier way and a harder way, and they said we want the harder variation of the harder trail. So we went to the harder variation, and we're hiking, and 10 minutes in, as they're all gasping for air and sucking wind and sitting down and wanting to go home, okay, they realized they'd bitten off more than they could chew. Where they were going to go anyways. It kind of falls into that hole. They're going to dive in head first and just deal with the consequences later. The consequences where they were all dying on the side of a mountain. Okay, that's what happens when you dive in head first. And we've all learned this as adults, and they hadn't learned it yet, and it was a great life lesson that I got to teach them. Okay? But on this trip, there's something specific that this group uses. You know, we used a group called Noah's Ark. And what they do is they use people's testimonies to drive the Christian thought behind the walks. So at lunch and at dinner and after the campfires, as we sat at night, we told our story for as long as you wanted, as much or as little as you wanted. Okay? You told your Christian story, your life to this point, anything you wanted. Okay? You could talk about your life, you could talk about your Christian walk, any aspect you wanted to, you talked about it. And it opened up that dialogue that I was searching for. I wanted them to do this, and through this group, and not through me at all, they were able to get them to open up to each other and to have this dialogue. Where they were able to see that other people had the same struggles that they have. They were able to see that each other had questions and had doubts and had fears. They were able to see the strengths that they could rely on other people. They were able to see the weaknesses where they could step up. And as this week progressed, not only did their Christian kind of faith get stronger, but their relationships and their dependency on other got straighter. They continued to lean on each other and be better. And I loved that aspect of them. And I feel like at the end of the year, I felt like it was such a success, right? They were able to defend what they believed. They knew what they believed. They knew why they believed it. They had relationships, and they could tell their story. And I loved that. And so my thought was, what next? What in the world do you do after you do that? You know what you believe. You know why you believe it. You can defend yourself. You know your story. You have relationships as a Christian. That's the goal, right? When we become Christians, we want to know God. We want to love others. Okay? Nice and simple. But what next? And I feel like that's where a lot of us in this congregation and in the world get stuck, okay, myself included, is I did this with them, and then I wondered, what do I actually do now that they know all of this? Where do we move on to from there? Because knowing what to know, knowing what you believe and being a Christian, how to be a Christian, seems like a pretty great place to be. So what do you actually do with this? And so this year, we took the verse that we had up here, which was Acts chapter 1, and specifically verse 8. And we made that our theme verse for the year. Okay. Our theme for the year is leading as servants. And we're seeking to lead those in our youth group, in our church, in our community, into the ends of the world. Okay? This is the push that Jesus gives the apostles. You see, the apostles were at this point, they were with Jesus for 3 years. They were in for all of his ministries. They learned all of these lessons. They saw all of these miracles. And then it came time for Jesus to go into heaven. And he says, there's someone who's going to come greater than me. You're going to like more than me. Who's going to be more helpful to you to spread this gospel than I am. And I'm going to leave you. And they're sitting there going, what do we do next? Okay, so Jesus ascends, and before he does, he tells them to bring his message, baptizing them in the name of the Holy Spirit in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Okay, it was this beautiful message, and they said, okay, so we're going to wait in Jerusalem, and then we're going to do this. We're going to go out, we're going to spread the gospel, and it's awesome. And so then they sat in this room all together. Okay, they replaced Judas as an apostle, and then they waited. They were sitting there at this impasse. And they didn't know what to do. But at that moment, it's in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit descends in tongues of fire, which is just kind of a cool visual to think about. But the Holy Spirit descends down and lands on the 12 apostles, and they begin to speak in tongues in every language. And there's 12 or so countries that are all represented because they've all come back to Jerusalem. Okay? And they're all being heard in their own language at the same time. It's this miracle and this beauty where they start speaking to these people, and all of this beautiful stuff happens. And this ministry begins. And the rest of Acts is them spreading the gospel to Jerusalem, to Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And if that's what the apostles were called to do, if that's when they finished learning what and why they believe what they believe, that that's what they did, it seems like logical, that'd be our next step too. And so that's what our goal is for this year. Our Jerusalem is our youth group that we just initiated in, a whole class full of sixth graders. We're going to have a big party for them this next weekend. Okay? We're going to bring in all kinds of new members and all kinds of friends to this youth group, and that is our Jerusalem, those who are closest to us. Our Judea and our Samaria is this church. We're going to look to serve our church and our community, our neighborhood. How can we represent our church and go serve others? How can we spread the name of Christ? And then lastly, to the ends of the earth, that we will continue to do these, but it all comes to kind of a head as our high school will go to Africa this summer to do a mission trip. Is that we will continue to live out what it means to be an Acts 1 youth group this year. And it's this journey. And it's something I feel like we can do as a church as well. It's something to look at. Because I feel like what happens often in churches that I grew up in was that we would have families who, you know, finished a ministry because a ministry had kind of gone to fruition. It had finished up and then we didn't know what to do, so we just didn't get involved. And we kind of sat and kind of got complacent. Or our kids graduated from the youth group, and we were super active in a youth group, helping out as youth parents, and then they graduated, and we didn't really know where to fit in. Or maybe you're new, and you just don't know where to go. Okay, but we have this ability to lead as servants, the ability to lead in our church and our community to the ends of the earth. And one thing I loved about this church when I came here a year ago was it enabled me to do these things, but it enables you to do them as well. That is one beautiful thing that is unique about this church is the heart to enable people to do ministry and to serve their community. It is super, super unique to this church, I feel, and the love and the passion behind it is beautiful. What makes it such an important thing to me is the reason I am able to do this and the reason that I'm so passionate about it is because of my dad. So my dad he was up here and he did scripture reading a couple weeks ago. My dad's policy with me growing up was if anyone asks you to do anything in a church service, regardless of what it is, at any time, you just say yes blindly. Okay? That was his policy. Doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter if you can't sing whatsoever, you're going to lead singing off key for the next 40 minutes. Okay? Doesn't matter if you know how to read, you're going to say yes and just struggle through it and memorize it if you have to. If someone asks you to preach, you're going to stand up there and you're going to prepare all you can, even if you have to read off of a sheet. You're going to serve. He made sure that I served over and over and over again. And there has never been a time I've ever seen my dad say no to serving. And it created this heart in me for service. And it's something that I want to create in this youth group. Each of you has an impact on this group. Every time you serve, they see these things. They know these things. When you serve next to one of them, when you serve as their parent, when you serve as their friend, when you serve on a trip, they bring not only relationships, but it brings an example into their life of service. It teaches them what it means to be a Christian. I can't think of any better ways to show Christ than to show love and to show compassion and to show people this kind of thing, this mission to have a servant heart, okay? To love others just as much as you love yourself, okay? To do for others as you would do to yourself. And I think that's the second part that's hard, is it's We seem sometimes like it's easy to love others like we love ourselves, but to actually do for others what we do for ourselves is a whole other thing, because that requires commitment. That requires time. That requires a lot more of us. Okay, it's that next step, is that I can have a relationship with them. We can be great. I can love you. I cannot judge you for what you're doing. But that doesn't mean that I'm actually going to go out of my way to help you. That doesn't mean I'm going to serve you. It just, I love you. You're great. You can stay over there. It's great. Okay? We're called to do for others what we would do for ourselves. This is that act of service. This is what we are called to be as Christians. Okay? And it's something that I don't want to miss, because there's so much opportunity here to do this. There's so many great ways to do this. Okay? We have the pantry. We have Kids Hope starting up this week, which I am unbelievably excited about. Okay? We have children's Bible classes. We have high school Bible classes, middle school Bible classes, and everything in between. We are constantly and actively in works of ministry here, and we would love for anyone to get involved that wants to. And this will be this is kind of a quick plug for me and Becca. If you are interested at all in teaching, we would love for you to come talk to us. We are always looking for men and women who are willing to lead and be servants and to teach our youth and our children. We are always looking for it. Okay? Because it is something truly unique. You get to experience what it looks like when somebody learns something for the first time, when something clicks and they're able to understand it. Okay? When they ask you a question that you don't know the answer to because they want to know more, that they're constantly seeking something out. You get to be a part of that process, a part of those beautiful moments. It's like when your children learn to walk for the first time, you get to see it. You get to relive that every time you sit in a class and teach somebody, because you get to watch them do something again for the first time, to know something for the first time, and it's beautiful. Okay? I want that. I want that relationship. I want an experience where you're serving others, okay, to be open to you. Okay? I want you to feel called to serve and to be passionate about those you serve. I want you to be the example that you want them to be, okay? To lead them to the places you want to go. And so if you feel that today that you haven't lived up to that, if you haven't been the example that you wish to be, in a minute we're going to have elders and ministers that will surround this auditorium that can pray for you, that can help you get to that point. Or maybe you just have something else on your heart that you need prayers for. Maybe you're struggling with something. Maybe you need to be served. Okay? We would love to help you with that too. Anything whatsoever that you need, we would love for you to come forward as we stand and sing.